Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is a heartbeat, the blood inside of my belly, the life inside of my body.
Oh, I want to. Hallelujah. We give God the glory. We thank God for today. And today is the day that the Lord has made. And this is Kingdom Keys, Spirit, Soul, and Body Series. And this is Kingdom Empowerment Inc. Radio. You are welcome to this program. We just want to let you know that the Lord is with you. And he will always be with you to the ends of the age. He will never leave us, and neither will he forsake us. Hallelujah. Today, I'm going to talk about this brand new topic. I have titled it, He Took Us Out of Our Mother's Womb. Yes, God took us out of our mother's womb. And we are going to take some of the scriptures from Psalm 71, verse 6, and we will also take it from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. And so I hope you are doing great, and I believe you are strong and don't be discouraged. And this program is just to encourage us, not to beat us down, but to encourage us, to make us strong and to be rooted and be of good courage. So we have to be strong. We are not to give up. Never give up. Never give up. Whether you are sick now, whether things are falling apart, be strong. Don't give up. Trust in the Lord, your God. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at this Psalm. But before we go there, let's just commit ourselves to the hands of God. Father, we thank you today. We bless you. We thank you for sending your Son to the world. And we thank you for the Spirit that you have given to us today. We are here, Lord, and we are ready. Open our heart. And we are opening our heart now. Teach us, mold us. Let your Spirit guide us, lead us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. For we repent for everything today. And we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the blood that your Son shed for us on the cross. We bless you. We appreciate you, Father. We thank you for the love you have for us. And we love you, Lord. We bless you today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time and all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Psalm 71. I just wanted to read from verse 1 to 6. So if you have time, I mean in your study time, I encourage you to read the whole Psalms. Maybe next week we'll do a thorough examination of these Psalms. But let me just read briefly, okay? I'm starting from verse 1. He said, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape." Just quickly, you see, anything that is going to put us to shame is not the Lord that put us to shame. Sometimes it's our ignorance. Sometimes we have given ourselves to the enemy. So if the enemy used that open door and put us to shame, so let's continue. Verse 2 says, it says, "Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me." Verse 3, it says, "Be my strong refuge. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." You know, something that is a fortress, it's been built in such a way, nothing will move it. Nothing is going to move it.
That's freedom.
Verse 4 says, it said, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and poor man. For you are my hope, O my God. You are my trust from my youth." It's our hope. Christ is our hope. He is our hope of glory. He said, "You are my trust from my youth." That is, even though many of us have not had this relationship with our God from our youth, but it's not too late. It's not too late. So we can continue to now have a relationship with God and begin to build our trust in Him daily. He said, "For you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth." Verse 6, "For by you I have been upheld from birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb." And He's saying now, "Say my praise shall be continually of you." Isn't that wonderful? So beautiful. Recognizing the fact that He did not just jump out of somewhere, like some of our people are saying, that we evolved from somewhere, we were formerly some animals back, then we evolved to where we are now. So He's saying that He recognized the fact that God took him out of his mother's womb, and his praise shall continually be to God every time. And that should be our lesson. This was even written in the Old Testament. So today, the scripture has said in many places that we need to appreciate God every time, seeking all the time, pray always. Men ought to pray and not faint. That's what Jesus said. So we need to praise Him every time, in good time or bad time. Hallelujah. Now, this is a psalm that was written by David. Most of the time, most of these psalms were written when he was in crisis, in a panic-stricken despair, when things are bad. David did not forget to praise Him, even though he found himself in this situation. And one of the things we need to realize is the fact that we need to appreciate God all the time. Now, when you look at this psalm, it's a psalm that he expressed in times of desperate need and his resolute trust in the Lord. And when you look at the breakdown of this psalm, you will see that confession of his resolute trust in God, we find that in verse 1 to 3. And petition for God to deliver him from trouble, you will see that from 4 to 6. And a determination to praise God even in the midst of trouble, like we are having nearly all over the world, there is this pathogen, this killer, the enemy of life. You know, it's a thief. You know, Jesus was saying in John chapter 10, verse 10, He said, "The thief come, but not to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I have come to give us life, and to give us life an abundant life. So it's a thief. Coronavirus is a thief. So it's something that is there to take people's life. It's a thief. Hallelujah. We will not give up to the plan of the enemy. You see, it is the thief that takes life. You know, he was talking about the true shepherd. It is the thief that takes life. And he is the true shepherd, and he is the one that gives life life, he will guide the sheep, he will guide us, he will protect us, he would make sure nothing comes against us. So Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is the one who gives life for us as we are sheep, as opposed to the wicked thief, who is Satan, who takes lives. So, we see that in everywhere, and we are kind of like what's going on. We see news every day. Many of these people have died. 50 died in a day. 70, 500. You begin to see this. What's going on? But it's a thief. Takes life. So, but I want us to be encouraged that he is the one in the first place that took us out of our mother's womb. So, do not be discouraged. Now, I want us to go to Jeremiah chapter 1 now. Jeremiah chapter 1. And he was talking, said in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, there is this translation, the expanded Bible. It said, verse 4, it said, the Lord spoke his word to me, saying, now verse 5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That is, chose you. I knew you. Before you were born, came out of the womb, I set you apart for a special work, consecrated you, and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You know, in the first case, you know, we were what? Before we came to where we are now, we were a tiny embryo. But look at us now. Very tiny. Can even begin to wonder, is this one going to survive? But daily by daily, you will see the work of God taking shape in our lives to where we are today. To where we can say, yes, I am who I am. I am by myself. I am strong. I don't care about that. I don't care about this. I don't know who is that. I refuse God. I do that. I accept God. So before we became where we are, we were a tiny embryo. Look at how we have come this way. Boils down to what David was saying, that I will praise God continually. No matter what is going on, no matter a crisis situation or panic-stricken despair has filled the air, but I will praise God continually. That is, letting the praise of God fill the heart, than fear, than discouragement, than panic, and all the things. It will always be there. It will always be there. So Jeremiah was very keen about the call of God in his life. And he had been determined by God from before his conception, before he was even formed, that's before conception. And he knew that God had called him to proclaim a critical message at a critical time in the history of the nations. He was commissioned to go to Judah, but it was now to the nations, and of course to us today. Now, if you proceed further in verse 6, he said, then say, Lord God, before behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do you not say I am a youth? For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Verse 8, he said, do you not be afraid of your faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I am with you. He said this twice in his call, in this verse and also in verse 19. If you go there, you will also see. In other words, God reassured Jeremiah of his presence and protection. God is reassuring us today of his presence in the midst of this crisis. He's assuring you, my brother, he's assuring you of his presence and protection. He is with you. He will deliver you. So in a moment of personal crisis, Jeremiah prayed these words back to God in verse 20, in chapter 20, verse 11. He prayed the same words back to God because there was fear in what he was experiencing. Fear began to set him. Now imagine, for many years he's been preaching judgment, he'd be preaching restoration, he'd be preaching all these kind of messages, and people were not hearing, they were mocking him, laughing, and nothing was happening. You see, so nothing was happening. So he has to remind himself and to remind God of what he has promised. So Jeremiah prayed this word back to him. And in a moment of crisis, we need to stand on the word of God. The word of God is the one that is going to save us. Hallelujah. Now again, you see, God knew you as he knew Jeremiah. My dear brother, my dear sister, whether coronavirus or whatever sickness is going on, or not, God knew you as he knew Jeremiah. God knew me as he knew Jeremiah. Long before you were born or even conceived, he knew you. He talked about you and planned for you. Remember what he said also by the same man in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He said, for I know the thought that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He has given us a hope. He has given us a future. There is a plan for everyone. And there is a purpose for everyone. So he talked about you. He talked about me also. You and I have a plan that God has planned for each and everyone. Remember what he said Ephesians 2, okay? hope I'm not going ahead of myself. Ephesians 2, verse 10. When you begin to read chapter 1, which I'm going to come to, but let me quickly say this, because we are talking about God's plan, God's purpose. You know, verse 10 says in the book of that Ephesians chapter 2, he said, for we are his workmanship, prepared. Christ Jesus, or created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he has made us by his skillful hand for a unique purpose, designed by his skillful hand for his unique purpose. Made specially, because you are a royal priesthood. You are special. You are unique. Everyone is unique. You are unique in your own purpose and unique in your own purpose. Can you imagine when we all come together? You know, I always think about that in a church where you will find all kinds of faces, all kinds of color. How beautiful that would be. So beautiful. You see a row, this color, this from this nation, from this tribe, from this nation. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing. You see, look at it here. Look at it here. You know, when God came in, because we wander away from what our forefathers did on the guiding, we stray away, then our spirit had a separation from God, and we were there spiritually. But see what God did in verse 4 of that same chapter, that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. That is together, not just he loved you or loved Paul. Us, together, in unity, togetherness. It's amazing to be together. It's powerful. And that is what the enemy is trying to do here. Don't you see it happening now in the world? We cannot even shake hands anymore. Cannot even get close to each other anymore. We now have to restrain ourselves 6 feet or 2 meters away. We don't go inside the shop. In some shop, it's like only 4 people have to go in. Not more than, not usual togetherness or friendliness anymore. We are like enemies. Because of what? Virus? Trying to separate us. Try to bring distance. Now we don't even fellowship together in the church anymore. We are no longer together in fellowship. You being on your computer or whatever media you have, tablet, cell phone, that's what the enemy is planning now, to bring separation. He knows this kind, he knows that the Lord, his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Together with Christ. Can you imagine that? Together with Christ. Can you imagine separating us from Christ? I'm not saying this quarantine and isolation is evil, or I mean, how do I put it nicely? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing this, okay? But in the present dispensation, to be able to the scientific community, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control is saying the way we will be able to not spread this disease is to quarantine and do isolation, social distancing. If you check my program last week, I did talked about this briefly in the program. So I'm not saying that we should not obey or go against it. I'm saying that science is telling us what will help us. Okay, quarantine is good. It's in the scripture, and I talked about it, Leviticus chapter 13, and read so many of those scriptures as well. And I talked to them in that program. Okay, it's God's way. It's in the scripture. Quarantine and isolation is in the scripture. Okay, but what I'm saying is in effect, you see the works of the enemy trying to separate people. Okay? Trying to work, separate people. Trying to bring division into the life of togetherness. You can see here, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you can see the unity, the bond that we need to have together. Hallelujah. So we have to follow the plan and the purpose God has given to us. God has made us and he has planned for us a future and a hope according to Jeremiah 29 verse 11. So when we see ourselves discouraged or inadequate or not prepared or laid down or beaten or sick or defeated, disappointed, remember that God has always thought of you and I as a valuable person, as a valuable man of God, as a valuable woman of God, as a valuable child. You know, this kind of what is going on now is also affecting our children. It's also affecting the youth, the elementary, the primary, a child that is just growing up today. You don't take them to nursery anymore. They don't go to nursery anymore. They are at home. See, how do you explain to all these people? How do you explain to the youth? How do you explain to your children that this is what is going on? So we cannot do this anymore. We cannot go to school anymore. The school is canceled. This is bad. We can't. It's just overwhelming. You see? But I want us to encourage ourselves that when we feel discouraged or inadequate or in crisis mode, remember that God has always thought of us as a valuable person and that he has a purpose in mind for us. He has a purpose in mind for us. Hallelujah. He has a purpose in mind for us. So if God has given us a specific call to assignment, to a purpose, then we have to seek to fulfill the mission that God has given to us. God has called every one of us. God has given us, all believers, a call to love. To love one another. It's a purpose that God has given to everyone, to love one another, to obey the word of God, to serve God until what? His guidance become more clear. Why do we need to obey the word of God? Why? Because the word of God is life. Remember what he said in John 6:63? He said, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. You know, if I begin from the very beginning of that very verse, it said, it is the spirit who gives life. So the spirit gives life. The spirit gives you life. The life we are living is from the spirit. You know, the life you live is from the spirit. The flesh profit nothing. So if we live life, we have to embrace the spirit of God. Embracing it with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. He said, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus was trying to explain, you know, he's been having a series of conversations with the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were kind of not understanding. And he then said that, beyond this physical body you are seeing, that if you, to the real issue, and that is, if you believe on him, they will have everlasting life. And if you're believing on him, they will have everlasting life. But there is life beyond the physical aspect we are seeing. So the very word that we speak is spirit and life. And verse 42 and verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is what? Spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship him in spirit. Worship him in truth. Worship him in spirit. Worship him in truth. Hallelujah. God is spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God, when we go back to that book of Jeremiah, when we go back to that chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah, that chapter 1, okay, verse 8, he said, do you not be afraid of their faces? There's going to be challenges. He's saying there's going to be people who are going to oppose him. There are going to be people who will say no. You know, when Nehemiah went to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem, it wasn't easy. It was a challenge. It was life and death. They were holding the weapons on one hand, and on the other hand, they were building. The same way today. The whole world is full of crisis. The whole world is full of pain. The whole world is full of anger. There's travail. There's sickness. There's rumors of death and everything that we can not even hear. It's everywhere. And these are our brothers and our sisters. How do we explain it? Most of these things we cannot explain. But God knows best. Can't explain. But in the midst of crisis, he's telling Jeremiah that, for I am with you to deliver you. So he did not promise to insulate him from the crisis, from the problem that is going to come, from the opposition that is going to come. He didn't promise Nehemiah on the rebuilding of the wall that I'm going to remove him from those things. But they were there. But he protected them. They were able to stay through. And they were able to build the wall again. In the same way, God promised to rescue Jeremiah from trouble, not to keep trouble from coming. In the same way, we are protected from this crisis. God did not insulate him from imprisonment, from deportation or insult. God does not keep us from encountering life's storm. There's going to be storms. There's going to be challenges, pains, but he does not what? Keep us from encountering these life storms on our way, on our journey. But he will see us through them. He will what? Save us through them. My dear brother, my dear sister, he will see you through them. In fact, God walks through this storm with us and rescues us. He walks through this storm with us and rescues you. He walks with you. He is not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. And you will go through these storms, through this crisis the whole world is passing through, and you will become strong and you become rooted. Hallelujah. You will not die. He will protect you. He will keep you. Hallelujah. He will guide you. He will protect you. In the name of Jesus. Now, let's quickly go to time is running out. Let's quickly go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to realize that in the book of the book of Ephesians chapter 1, you see, he's talking about that he chose us. That is in verse 4. He chose us. He chose you. Say, before I knew you, before I made you in your mother's womb, I knew you. You see here also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, you see scripture confirming scripture. He said, just as he chose us in him, where? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. How do we do this? In loving, in love. He chose us. He chose you, my brother. Chose you, my sister. So do not be discouraged. Let us not yield ourselves to fear. Let us not yield ourselves to discouragement, to panic, to despair. But we have to encourage ourselves with the word of God. What we are seeing in the life of Jeremiah, he went through crisis as well. Can you imagine you are ministering, you are not seeing the fruit of your of what you are saying. Nothing is happening. But he was appointed as a prophet to the nations. And God confirmed his mission to him. He was appointed. But nothing was working. But we are not to be discouraged. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that many of us begin to ask is, you see, it's very important to talk about our brothers and sisters who have passed on. Many of our brothers, many of our sisters have passed on. How do you explain that? If you hear recently, there were some people who were worshiped. I think there were about 50 of them, and about 40 of them were tested positive to coronavirus, and I think two of them died, and three of them hospitalized. And how do you explain that? They were they were singing. Okay, I don't know. So many things we cannot explain. But what we need to know is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it is my prayer that God will comfort the family and friends of these people. Okay? From loved ones and your family, your child, your dad, whoever they are. I pray that the spirit of comfort will comfort you and give you peace. It's difficult. But I pray that God is a God of comfort. He will comfort you and he will bring peace in that family, in the name of Jesus. So quickly, in verse 4, verse 13, or the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are falling asleep. Do not be what? Ignorant of those who are what? Falling asleep." Some of the new covenants, they were having this kind of questions. The hope of seeing, would they see their loved one again? That they've lost their loved ones, and they were asking questions. So apparently Timothy had encountered further questions on the subject, possibly arising from the death of some of the new converts. So in answer to this question, so Paul stated that he wanted them to be informed rather than being ignorant, and also to be comforted by the hope of seeing their loved ones again. This was a hope that their pagan neighbors did not have. There was this not this hope was not there for the unbelievers. The hope we believers have today. And it says in that verse 13, it said, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are falling asleep." You see, falling asleep, a metaphor, it's a figure of speech for those who have died. Okay, like they are sleeping. And if to be absent from the body is to present with the Lord. Okay? That is you'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. So he's saying that in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those in Jesus." So the key is in us sleeping in Jesus. Again, the key is what? In us sleeping in Jesus. Except Jesus tarry, all of us will die. If he does not tarry, slowly, slowly, we will die after we all fulfill our purpose. Okay? Again, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. God will what? Bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So, if Christian dies, it is the body that sleeps. The soul goes to where? To heaven. And if you read on in verse 15, he said, "For this we say to him, to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Why? Verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, and those who have now slept in Christ will rise first." Verse 17. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And why is he saying this in verse 18? "Therefore comfort one another with these words." My dear brother, my dear sister, this we are saying that we comfort one another with these words. So the word today is just to comfort us, to encourage us, to make us strong, to be bold as a lion. For the enemy, the roar is he said, is as a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. It's not a roaring lion. It's as a roaring lion. It's as a roaring lion looking for who to do what? To be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because it's looking for who to steal, to kill, to destroy. So we are not to give him chance. Don't give him chance. One of the chance we give is we give up. No, don't give him any chance. Don't give up. Be strong and be of good courage. Hallelujah. I pray that the word of God comfort you today. I pray that the word of God strengthen you today. I pray that the word of God give you life. The word of God is spirit and life. receive the word of God now and rely on the Spirit of God to help you. Depend on the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you honor. In the name of Jesus. And for the remaining 3 minutes or 2 minutes that is left, I just wanted to pray for our brothers and sisters. If today is your first day here and you don't know this God we are talking about, don't know Jesus, he has no impact in your life, you don't know him, suddenly come here, you don't know him really, I just want to encourage you, today is the day of salvation. Let's come to him now. Come to Jesus. Receive him. Let's give all our fear to him. Let's give all our fear, all our crisis, all our worries to him now. In the name of Jesus. Say the word of God is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 12 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Talk to him now. Tell him you want to give him all the fears in the whole world, all the burden, all the load, all the crisis, all the coronavirus. Oh, Jesus, we put all to you right now. In the name of Jesus, we submit our life to you. We give our life to you. We are sinners. We call upon you, Jesus. Take us, mold us. Use us. We want you to be our Father. We want you to be our Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we know we are sinners. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you, O God, you took all on the cross. In the name of Jesus. Every curse. For cursed is that who was hung on a tree. You were hung on a tree. In the name of Jesus. So that we might receive the blessing of Abraham through faith. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We bless you. In the name of Jesus. We see you. We love you. And we see you next time. Be strong and be of good courage. Hallelujah. We leave you in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Hope to meet you again in the name of Jesus. Amen.